since he has been suspended, I've had some interesting messages. My mum hasn't come out great from it. It's been interesting, to say the least.
Subscribe now to the OTB Rugby podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, or get the entire OTB catalogue on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Let's move on. 21 minutes, nearly 22 minutes past nine this morning here on OTB AM, the sports breakfast show from Off the Ball. Brought to you every morning in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Alan Quinlan is with us. Good morning to you, Alan. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good, thanks. Ronan O'Gara is probably feeling pretty sore and sorry about how the game played out. When you're in a cup final like that against a team who are perceived to be stronger and you give them the advantage of having an extra man for as long as they did, you'll never quite feel like you gave yourself the full shake of actually just winning the match.
Yeah, I suppose that was the big talking point, and the biggest effect in the game, I think, was the sending off from Lavani Bhatia. I think up to that point, it was very little between the sides. They were cancelling each other out. It was a disappointing final, Ger, I think, which can happen. It's very common. Nerves, shadow boxing, all that kind of stuff. People not taking chances. And, you know, two very, very good attacking sides who have a lot of power and physicality. So they were cancelling each other out. It was a massive turning point in the game, descending off. You know, Rog back stuck up for his player, and you know, you have to feel sorry for him in a sense, but it was crazy what he did. I think it wasn't just the height of the tackle, it was the force, and it was the distance he came from. But Fiji and Samoans, Tongans, the Pacific Islanders, they're some of the nicest people you could ever meet off the field, but for some strange reason, when they get out in the field, they can do that sort of stuff, and they're renowned for the high tackles, and very costly, I thought. You know, when you see the way the game played out, and it was probably the second half, it just told on the La Rochelle players. Although, you know, after the sending off, they probably had their best, most dominant period, and were making great inroads with their carriers. Pace, tempo to the game, all that kind of stuff, and I think, but it was significant, no doubt about it.
How disappointed, like, can La Rochelle be? I know there's that nonsense about having to lose one to win one, and like, they're not finished as a team. This isn't the end of their cycle. This is kind of the beginning of a cycle where they're reaching, where they're in contention to win on two fronts. It's very difficult to go from, you know, being a team who isn't a traditional powerhouse to get to this stage. We see it in all sports that it takes time for the team to believe that they have the wherewithal to win these matches and to win the tournaments. And we've also seen Clermont in France in the past, like, reach this level but not quite get over the line. So I know it's going to be devastating to lose the final, but at the end of the season, when you look back and go, geez, we're now one of the best teams in Europe, that's some achievement.
Yeah, it is. And look, I suppose the way the draw happened for La Rochelle, It gave him an opportunity. I said it to Rogers at the time, and you know, as a coach, you don't want to look too far ahead and get too kind of overconfident. You know, when they were away in Gloucester, that was a game they were every chance of winning. And then to get the home quarter final, you know, it's really significant in Europe. It's proven to be in the past. So beating Sale and then Leinster was a real tricky one. I think Leinster will probably be more frustrated watching that final, thinking that could they have beaten Toulouse? But I think La Rochelle could have beaten Toulouse, and I actually fancied him before the game to beat Toulouse. Obviously, something like that, when it happens, it's very, very difficult to deal with. Now, you know, Roger was involved with Racing in 2016 when Maxime Machinot was sent off, and they won the top 14 with 14 men, an heroic effort from Racing that day. And very nearly on Saturday, I think it's how they react from this. And that's the key part, as you say, adding a little bit of depth to the squad, which can be tricky with COVID and financial implications and availability of players. Who's on the market? We're 2 years out from a World Cup. So the big names, you know, will they move before a World Cup and all that kind of stuff? but he, you know, he's losing a couple of players. West is gone, I think, and Dumaru. And the out half was probably an issue for him. I think he missed a couple of kicks. His kick percentage this year, Ihaya West, his kick percentage was low. And although he kicked very well against Leinster, which was ironic, really, and missed a couple at the weekend, I think. You know, the one to after half time to put him 15-9 up would have been big for La Rochelle to get that 6-point lead, and he missed it and missed another couple of kicks. But it's hard to pick your team up after something like this. It takes a while. You've got to process it, and they're a very good squad. They're the core group of outstanding players. But I think, you know, to win European titles, you've got to have depth. And I think that's probably been the key for Toulouse this year, where they've missed Guiton at centre. Zach Holmes was out for the final. They brought in Malia, the Argentinian. He scores a try. And Toulouse have always been renowned for a big squad. And that's probably something that La Rochelle just have to get a little bit more depth and see if they can add quality from within or outside. And you've got to come back better, learn from this. And that's probably the key. It's very hard to take. And you know, Roger was very pragmatic after the match on Saturday. I didn't hear John O'Gibbs speaking about it, but I know Ronan was the one doing the interviews. And it'll be hard to take from. What it'll be even harder to take is when they look at the video as some of the decisions, probably some of their own decisions. And dare I say it, I mentioned it last week, refereeing decisions and officials and things that went against them. I think Gregory Aldrich and Peter Aki, that tackle in the second half could easily have been a red card as well. And I look back at it a number of times. It's kind of harder when you're doing the commentary, when there's you're a little bit unsure and there is a little bit of uncertainty there. It was in the throat area. So when I look back at it, I thought, he's very lucky to get away with that. He looked relieved. It could have been a red card for Toulouse and for Aki. But some of the other decisions that went against La Rochelle were baffling. And I think it was quite frustrating doing commentary to hear the interaction from Wayne Barnes to Lou Pearce on every single decision. It was just constant. I just don't know why he doesn't let him ref the game. Look, some of the decisions were maybe correct, but I just thought he overshadowed Lou Pearce. And there was a couple of crucial decisions that went against him. There was one for Antonio on a mall early on. Wayne Barnes calls that. He's 60 yards away. The referee standing right there at the mall. There was another kick clearance in the second first half from Carol Barlow. And you could hear Wayne Barnes calling Dumaru ahead of the kicker. There was the Intermac one where he chipped the ball over and he ran into Skelton. That was another penalty that they kicked. So when Rog looks at this, and I spoke to him yesterday, and look, we didn't get into it. Look, he's disappointed, and you know, it's not the thing to be doing. But I think my own personal opinion, doing the commentary on Saturday, it was quite frustrating to hear that interaction continuously. There was 12 minutes of extra time played in the first half, and it was 12 minutes of extra time played in the second half. So it was 52 minutes each half. And a lot of that was talking and stoppages and having conversations from the officials. Matthew Carley didn't really interject. It was Wayne Barnes to Lou Pearce all the time. And I think that will frustrate La Rochelle when they look back at some of the decisions that were given by Wayne Barnes, effectively, not the referee. And I think he possibly got it wrong right at the end, where Aldred is trying to poach a ball and he blew up for an injured player. And the Toulouse player was injured. Close enough to it, but not right on top of it. But blowing it up when Aldred is trying to poach the ball and stopping the game, and then giving Toulouse the scrum when the clock is in the red, which was... So there's a few of them that they'll be frustrated. But I just didn't think they got any sort of decisions that were in the game. And Toulouse did. But credit to Toulouse. They're a brilliant side. And, you know, I said this last week that... you know, even though Maidard was the only one who was involved in the last time they were in a final, it's the history of the club. You know, every time you play Toulouse or they play, you associate that history of Europe, and they're the first to win the five. So It's a fantastic achievement for them.
Yeah.
Quinny, just on the refereeing, and you're right, like it felt like there was two referees because it was so stop-start. They were picking up on everything for about 75 minutes, and then the last 5 minutes of the match just seemed to be complete carnage and anything went, and it ends up costing La Rochelle where they probably could have kicked the corner.
Well, they didn't interact then, Nathan. Yeah, they didn't interact at the end when they should have. And at one stage, they said, Wayne Barnes says, we got to get this right. It's a final. What? It should be no different in any game.
It was too just big a personality to be the assistant.
Well, it seemed like that. I've never seen it that bad. I've never ever seen it or seen all that much influence from an assistant referee. I think Matthew Carley did interact once or twice, but you couldn't hear him being as dominant as Wayne Barnes. Maybe Luke Pearce wanted that, but it's not right. You could look as an assistant referee, as a supporter, or even doing commentary at these games. Just nearly every time you could say there's an offside. You could call one nearly every time. You can call people coming in from different wrong angles, breakdowns and mauls and stuff like that. So if the assistant referee is going to call everything like that, of course, if they're blatant and they're crucial decisions, but it's just hard to fathom how often he was coming in to Luke Pearce and how often they were against La Rochelle. I think that's what will frustrate Roland the most. And look, he probably can't say it as well as I can. It doesn't matter to me. I think Wayne Barnes is a great referee. He's a great fella. Luke Pearce is a really good referee as well. But we've had history of this chit-chat. Look at the France-Wales game, the Six Nations. It just went on and on and on. Stop, start, and this interaction that everybody can hear now on these mics. So it's just gone on too long, and it's trial by video. It's the game has been run now by a TV screen, you know, which is, of course, if they're crucial decisions in try scoring. But my point here is nearly every facet or phase of the game, you can find someone a little bit ahead of the kicker or someone in an offside position. And when they're not influencing the tackle or the decision or the area where the ball is, there's no point in pulling these, you know what I mean? Like Dumouriez, for example, his one was, he was nowhere near going to be making a tackle. He moved upfield. And I know it's something that they were trying to police a lot more in the Six Nations, but whether decisions are right or wrong here, my point is it's continuous interjecting from an assistant referee who, in my opinion, is undermining the referee who's already there trying to do the job. And if he's standing right beside them all and the assistant referee is 60 yards away, why is he making a call into the referee's ear that Tonio's offside in them all when the camera replays to me suggest he's not? You know, he's getting it wrong. The Intermac one was blatant. Will Skelton did not move either way. Intermac kicks the ball over his head and he actually runs into Skelton and they go back for that penalty and they kick it. So look, there's a few there that will frustrate him, but that's the luck of the draw sometimes. You get it, you get some of those in your favour. But I just thought none of those decisions went in La Rochelle's favour on Saturday. But going right back to the first question, when Bothier gets sent off, that's the biggest problem. Mm. That's the biggest issue. The other things sometimes you got to deal with, that's in their own control. And that was a really, really reckless tackle that cost his team.
There's another month of rugby left in France. Obviously, the final for the top 14 isn't until the 24th, I think, of June. So that's a full month away. And there's a big opportunity for La Rochelle. They just need to make sure that they don't have any kind of a come down from this defeat. They use this now as fuel for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's it. They're still in the, you know, they're second. They're a point behind Toulouse in the top 14. Win their last two games. Make sure they get into the semi-final. Although, you know, it's obviously more difficult path to win it. If you have to win three games, you get straight into the semi-final. It's two games you've got to win. You get a home semi-final as well. So they have a great chance. And look, Rog has been there before. He's lost finals as a player. He's lost them as a coach. And, you know, he'll know that sometimes it's just those fine margins and it's about belief. And and it's a great opportunity for them to, if they were to go on and win the top 14, it would be an incredible achievement. But, you know, even if they don't, I think it's been an incredible journey for them. They've introduced themselves to the rest of Europe. Nobody would have picked them at the start of the tournament to be there in the final, potentially winning it, and possibly the same in the top 14. So even if they don't win something, they've made a lot of progress. And you've got to move forward. You can't just sit back. And I think that'll be the key. And that'll be the scrutiny that Roland is under in the next year. And it's going to get harder, because if you don't achieve the same sort of goals, the pressure mounts. But he's been there before and done that. And this is going to be intriguing, how, not just how he reacts as head coach now, but how the players react as well. And but if they were to go on and win it, well, that would make up for the loss in Europe.
For sure. Alan, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, Ed.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.